Thank you, Lord, for today. God, thank you for who you are, what you're doing. God, we believe this is the greatest hour to be alive on the planet of all time. And I know some of us, we're maybe even making that statement by faith because it does seem chaotic, crazy, but I also know it's when you show up. You show up in the middle of a storm. In the middle of the crazy, in the middle of, God, where are you? You show up. You show up on the scenes. And so, God, we look to you today, and your word says that you're the author and the finisher of our faith. So we look to the author today. We look to the one who knows and has all the answers. And Jesus, we do believe that you are the answer for the world today. We believe that. And as we're about to see, we believe that you are the way, you are the truth, and you are the life. So we look to you today, and we pray these next 22 minutes, God, that you would speak to our lives, that you would invade our space, that we would feel the conviction of your Holy Spirit, not the condemnation from man. The conviction of your Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, amen. Guys, we're winding down on the series called Red Letters. We're talking about the words of Jesus, and we're in John 14 today. And I dare you, as I read this first line, to not sing it. Verse 1 of chapter 14 says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled." Anybody? Anybody want to sing that? Don't let your hearts... Anyway, so, okay, tough crowd. I'll go back to talking about money then. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and change... No, I'm just kidding. "Trust in God and trust also in me. There's more than enough room in my Father's house. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am, and you know the way to where I'm going." I love Thomas. He says, "No, we don't. We don't know. We don't know, Lord. We have no idea where you're going. So how can we know the way?" To which Jesus said, "I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me." Verse 15, "If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into," somebody say, "all." All truth. Anybody looking for truth today? Well, you got an advocate who knows all truth. "The world cannot receive him, because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you." Speaking of Acts, which we'll talk about in a second. "No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you, and soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you also will live. When I'm raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them." And verse 27, "I'm leaving you with a gift." Anybody like gifts? Where's my gift people at? Who likes to give gifts? You're that person. All right, hold on. Keep your hands up. I just need to know who you are. I'm just going to make sure we're good. Hold on, we're still scanning the audience with the cameras. "I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid." My first question to you today, what has you troubled? I know that's probably a loaded question. There's a lot on your mind. A lot of things have happened to you or by you or around you. Maybe life has kind of thrown you a curveball. Maybe life isn't what you thought it was going to be. It's not how you expected it to go. Jesus said, "Don't let your heart be troubled. You trust in God. Trust also in me." He's speaking to his disciples kind of at the end of the 3 years. The end of this three-year tour that they've been going on, where they've seen miracles, they've seen rebuking, they've put their foots in their mouth, and Thomas is doing it even right now, and they've had these moments with God, and he's saying to them, guys, don't let your hearts be troubled, because you've believed in God, and now you can trust me as well. Do you know there's kind of a lost art of something that's happening in culture right now where we don't know how to define trust? We don't know how to define peace. We don't know how to define so many things that are going on around it. And so it's leaving us confused. It's leaving us not knowing how to respond. And response is the most important thing. It's not so much what happens to you, but how do you respond to what happens to you? Because something is going to happen to you. And so Jesus opens with, don't be troubled. Because he understood troubled hearts are delivered through faith, through trust, and through belief in him. Amen. Listen, at the end of the day, I can give you good advice. I can give you some wisdom. I can give you some experiences. I can get you on how I got through. But at the end of the day, the answer is Jesus. The answer is it comes from Jesus. It comes from the one that is all-knowing and full of truth. And this is what he's saying. You've believed in God, but now I want you to know you can trust me, you can believe in me, and also when I leave you, there's one coming, and he's your advocate. Years ago, I was doing some work with those that have been caught in the sex trade, kids that have been caught in the sex trade. And I was asked specifically to meet with some of these individuals that were caught up. And they used the word advocate. They used the word, could you be an advocate for these young ladies? And they would say that they would go to trial, and a lot of times they would confront the person that was responsible for them being in the sex trade. And all I would do is I would stand alongside them and be their advocate in case they needed to look to someone who had hurt them, who had abused them, who had taken advantage of them. Instead of looking that way, they would look at me. Someone they could trust. Someone that was showing them a different example than that man, that woman. In this moment, he's saying, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. He is an advocate. And when you want to look out at the abuse and the confusion and the worry that is happening all around you, instead, look at the advocate. Look at the advocate. Look at him. And then he's letting us know, listen, this world, they don't recognize him. They don't recognize the advocate. They're not familiar with the advocate. So the question goes to, why in our troubled state are we arguing with the people who don't know? It's easy to get caught up in. It's easy to get caught up in that, in the chaos and the crazy, which is why, you know, Paul told the Philippian church, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension. I love how the NASB says it. All comprehension will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We have a tendency to be men and women of worry. We have a tendency to be men and women who are anxious, full of anxiety. And he says, listen, in these moments that we live, it's not that the peace of God changes your scenario, it's that in the middle of the crazy, the peace of God shows up. The point isn't to change your scenario, the point is to change you. That is the point. The point wasn't for Jericho walls to come down. The point was to capture Joshua. The point is to capture your attention, to capture your affection, to put a love that goes beyond all things, to see the advocate, which is the peace, which is this gift that God gives to all people who receive him. This is why Paul says what he said in Romans 5:1. He said, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. How do we have peace with God? Because of what Jesus did on the cross. We have peace of God. This is the reason that John 2 chapters later in John 16:33 says, and I have told you all this so that you have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart. I have overcome the world. This is the greatest thing that he wants us to understand is that he has overcome the world, that you and I can have this peace. You and I can live in this peace. You and I can walk in this peace. Nine individuals just took this opportunity to stand in front of you and say, listen, I'm putting my hope, my trust in God because now I have peace with God. And because I have this peace with God, I live differently. Your chaos may not change, but the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. Mark chapter 4, it's not going to be on the screens. Well, maybe it is. I'm a liar. Anyway, verse 38 says, Jesus was sleeping. I love this. At the back of the boat. I shared this passage with us in March of 2020. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion, which just goes to show Jesus likes comfort too. You know what I mean? It was probably one of those fancy pillows. Anyway, it was a MyPillow. The disciples woke him up shouting. Okay, I don't think I can read this and do it justice. Teacher, don't you care? Don't you care that we're going to drown? Might be a bit dramatic, right? You're on a boat. A storm is raging. Jesus is asleep. And you're wondering, where are you, God? Where are you? Are you asleep? I'm going in the middle of this storm. And he's shouting, teacher, are you not concerned that we're about to drown? Anybody dramatic in your life? Well, seriously, just be honest. You got those kids, right? I have two of them here today. I didn't say which two they were. They're just two of them here today. One of them is dramatic. One of them is not. I'm not going to tell you which one. Might be Lila. But anyway, we got two yellers in the house, and one of them is here. And so one of them is going like, hey, it's raining outside, just an FYI. And the other kid in my house is going, Dad, it's raining outside. The basement is going to flood. Chill. Chill. You know how many times we have to say this at our house? So much that the three-year-old during dinner the other day said, guys, with her hands like this, the three-year-old just turned three, guys, chill. Did they not? I'm not going to tell you what they said after that. She said, chill. I'm not even telling you what they said after that. Come to me privately and I'll tell you. It's a really funny story. But I cannot say it publicly. It's not a bad word either, but I can't say it. You want me to so bad, but it doesn't matter. I'm not saying it. Oh my gosh, it was so funny though. It was great. My wife would be so mad if I said what they said, but my wife is not here. I can't say it. I will get so many emails. I will get so many emails. Oh, I said, guys, chill. I can't say it. Should I say it? No, see, Lila, see, there you go. Lila said yes, Libby said no. That's the kind of kids they are. Lila's like, absolutely, Dad, say it. Oh, man, now I feel like I'm in this bind. Anyway. Chill. I can't even say it, man. I'm not saying it. Oh, man. It was not a bad word, though. We don't teach our three-year-olds bad words. Carson might. But anyway, so. But this was not here. I'll tell you in private. I'm sorry. I laugh because it's so funny. Anyway, when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." And suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. And then he asked them, and this is the question that I think he asked us, "Why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid?" And then he follows up that question with, "Do you still have no faith?" Amen. See, this is a question of accountability. This is a question of where a lot of people get offended. This is where a lot of people go, "How dare you ask me that? Like, do you not know what I've done? Do you not know how long I've been in this church? Do you not know how long I've been a Christian? Like, how dare you ask me if I'm spiritual enough to have faith?" Yet Jesus is like, "Well, I woke up to you shouting that you are going to drown." I think Jesus' words are, "If you weren't so dramatic, I would still be sleeping right now." I think this is hard for us. Because I think we like the idea of peace, but we tend to live in trouble. I think I like the idea of peace that passes all understanding, peace that goes way beyond comprehension, but I think most of the time I live in trouble, I live in chaos, I live in confusion, I live in worry, I live in anxiety, and I say things like, "Well, I was just raised this way," or, "You don't know what's happened to me," and I use all of these things to stay in trouble. So Jesus leads with, "Let not your heart be troubled. You trust in God, you can trust in me." This is the anthem for the church in this hour. Do we trust in God? It is a genuine question because you and I have this tainted view of what it is to trust. And the reality is for most of us, if we're being honest, we don't trust God. We don't trust him. You don't have a problem with individuals. You've got a problem with God. And we say things like, "Well, God's still punishing me for what I did when I was younger, or what I did a year ago. God's still punishing me." Can I just say to you right now, if you're a believer in Christ, if you follow Jesus, you've asked him into your heart, God is not punishing you. Jesus already took that punishment. So God is not punishing you. He's not gonna punish you. He's not gonna punish you. All right, so can we get that out of our hearts? Can we get that out of our minds that, like, God's got a vendetta against you because you got some sin? Listen, we all have sin, okay? He's not punishing you right now. That doesn't mean that there's not consequences to the things that we do, okay? And there's a difference between punishment and consequences, okay? Yeah, you lie to somebody, there's going to be consequences to that lie, kids, to your parents. This is the reason he follows up with, "Guys, if you love me, here's how I know it. Here's how I know that you love me." He already said this in John 13. He said it to the whole church. "This is how a world that is without hope will know that you are my disciples." By what? By the way you love. How you love one another. He's like, "This is how the world will know." And now he's saying, "Listen, this is how you prove that you love me." By what? By obeying my commandments. That's how you prove. So listen, this is for all of us. Kids, teenagers, yeah, this is for you. You're like, "Oh no, don't talk to me. Talk to my parents, they're bad." No, I'm talking to you. Because right now you live under their roof. And you say things like, "I love you, Mom. I love you, Dad." Cool, obey. Listen, it doesn't mean your parents are perfect. It doesn't mean they get it all together all the time. But how do you prove? By words, or do we prove it by actions? This is where he's coming from. He's like, "Listen, the peace of God comes when I do something in prayer, when I do something in my life. Like, this is how it comes." And this is what he's talking about right now. And in these moments, if we're being honest, we tend to freak out. So the question is, do you trust Jesus today? Can I just say something real quick? Well, I'm going to. I didn't ask. I don't know why I did, but I'm going to say it anyway. Forgiveness is not trust. I can forgive someone, doesn't mean I trust them. If someone stole all of your money and brought it to zero, horrible, horrible way, and you're now at zero, and in your heart you're like, I know I need to forgive them, so I'm going to forgive them, which is what the Bible says. That does not mean when I have a new savings that I'm trusting them with my investment. It does not mean that. Okay? Forgiveness is not trust. Forgiveness is saying, God, I know I've been forgiven, and because of that, I also forgive. And because I forgive, I want to live. But it doesn't mean, it goes the other way too. When I ask God to forgive me, it doesn't mean he's like sending us into this great business or around the world. It means he might be starting this process. So it's not so much, do I trust Jesus? How about this? Does Jesus trust us? Come on, church, in this hour when people are making phone calls and the state is calling, this is an hour where you gotta say, you can trust us. You can trust us. I know you're desperate. I know there's a lot of kids in foster care. I know you're overwhelmed right now. Call us. You can trust us. This is that hour. This is that hour. It's not me saying, yes, I love Jesus because the first three songs were actually on my playlist and I love it. Oh, I love worshiping. Yes, Jesus, yes. Now go obey. Okay? That's not what he's talking about. I can love on Jesus in this moment, but what are we doing after here? Okay? Do I trust? Can God trust us? A couple passages, and then I'm done. Okay? These will be up on the screens. Paul told Timothy, this is why I'm suffering here in prison. Paul is in prison. But I'm not ashamed of it, for I know the one in whom I trust. And I am sure that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him until the day of his return. He's saying, listen, I might be in prison right now for preaching the gospel, but I'm not worried because I know in whom I trust. And because I know in whom I trust, I know that he's for me and not against me. I know he hasn't abandoned me. I know it looks like a storm right now, but I'm telling you, he's here. This is what he's saying. The writer of Psalms is saying, the Lord is a shelter for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. Those who know your name trust in you. For you, O Lord, do not abandon those who search for you. Listen, this is how I know that I can answer that question, that I trust God in my situation. There's a couple passages. I'm going to have to skip a couple, but I'll put them up later. When I trust, how about this? I praise a little different. Psalms 28:7 says, the Lord is my strength and shield. I trust him with all my heart. I love this. He helps me, and my heart is filled with joy. I burst out in songs of thanksgiving. You know what I love about that? It doesn't say that I gotta be a good singer. Amen. Yeah, yeah. A couple giggles and a couple amens because you know. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Let's try it at Walmart today. I burst out in songs of thanksgiving. And they heard me. What is that? It's because I trust God with all my heart, and I'm not leaning on my own understanding. I'm trusting in him. Psalms 23:4 says, I won't read that. Proverbs 16:20 says, those who listen to instruction will prosper. Those who trust the Lord will be joyful. I'm going to follow this question up. It's not on the screen. How's your joy today? I'm like, put that down. How is your joy today? Do you have joy? Do you have joy? And the difference between happiness and joy is happiness is built on circumstance. Joy is within you. That's the difference. Like, I didn't ask, are you happy today? Because some of you might be happy because you got coffee, you woke up, and you're not hurting that bad. Right? That might be happy. Yep, I hear you. I hear you, sister. Some of you are like, it didn't happen this past week, but today is a good day, so I'm happy. That's not what I asked. I'm asking, do you have joy, or what has stolen your joy? What are you allowing to come in? What is that showing? That's showing a lack of trust in who God is and what God says. And this is the hour where we need to trust Him more than ever. Why? Because there is a world looking for joy. There is a world looking for peace. And we have the answer, the one that is the way, the one that is the truth, and the one that is the life, and it's Jesus. Okay, last scripture, Jeremiah 17 says, but blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. You know what he's saying? He's saying these are the trees that stay grounded. They know who they are, and the heat comes, and the floods come, and all these other things come, but they stay consistent. This is a picture of the church, that even in this hour of drought, our leaves are green. Come on, church. Even in this hour of crazy and unknown and COVID and all of those things, our leaves are green. Our leaves are green. There's fruit that's still coming from the trees, right? This is still the hour when people are saying, like, you did what during 2020? I'm like, we built a church. Why? Because our leaves are green. Because our leaves are green. Because things are trying to rob and steal and to destroy the things of God, and we are still standing. That's why our leaves are green, because we're not going anywhere. We're not going anywhere. Listen, and this is the peace that I have, you guys, that I can stand in front of you and I can say, this doesn't mean that there's not troubled times. It's just we're trusting the author and the finisher of peace. This is why I can stand in front of you and say, like, despite how people, I've told people more this past week, live in such a way that when people talk about you, they gotta lie about you. They gotta make it up. The people that are against you, the people that jump to conclusions, I'm gonna just tell you, in our current situation, you know why I can stand in front of you? Because we've been an open book. We've been an open book on how we've handled things, on when we've gone to authorities, how we've cooperated with authorities. And I can stand in front of you and I can be open and honest and go, listen, we've stood alongside, we've rebuked, we've encouraged, we've sat down, we've got ahead of things. We're not covering things up. Despite what people might say or think, I'm not covering anything up. I still take the stand that I'm more concerned about the who than the do. I don't care what you can do for me. I care about who you are and how you're moving forward. And I still take that stand, and I'll take that stand with every single one of you. Every single one of you. And that's why I can have peace with God. That's why I can have the peace of God. Not that I'm on a pedestal, because I've not always done it right, you guys. We've made mistakes, but what do we do in our mistakes? We admit them, we learn, we grow. We say, whoa, can't do that again. Listen, I coach. You know how many times in a game I kick myself, I beat myself up? I say things like I would do it differently, I would go back, I wish I could, all those things. Listen, you fix those things and you get better, okay? Can God trust us? That question has been asked so many times, and I just want to stand in front of you and go, God, we know you're doing big things. We trust you. We trust you that you're still sovereign, that you're still on the throne, that you're still the one who wakes up in the middle of our desperation and says, peace, be still. You're still the one. You're still the one, okay? You're still the one. So listen, I don't know why your hearts are troubled today. Jesus just said, don't let your hearts be troubled. And some of you, I know you're grieving. You're grieving today. The loss of a loved one. You're not going to get over that. But you're going to look to the one that you can trust in. He brings his peace. Let me just say this, and some of you just need to hear this by faith today. You can trust him. You can trust him. You can trust him today. Have you ever met someone? And in meeting them, you have a mutual friend in common. And that mutual friend says, listen, this is a good dude. He's gone to bat for me. You can trust him. What does that do for you? Those of you in this room, you're like, this Jesus thing, like, I like church and all. But man, this whole relationship, Jesus thing, he's a good dude. You can trust him. He wants the best for you. He's not against you. He's for you. He's calming the storms to get your attention right now. He's saying things like, peace be still. And then he's asking us these questions. Why are you afraid? Why are you afraid today? Why? Because he's personal. He's coming to you knowing that he can radically change whatever it is that you're going through. So he does say, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in me today. Why? Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Would you stand with me right now? Can we just give it up for Jesus right now? Let's pray right now. God, thank you. God, thank you for your faithfulness. And we're about to sing, you make mountains move. And so, God, thank you for moving mountains in our life right now. God, thank you that you are faithful. God, when we're unfaithful, you're faithful. When we've abandoned, your word says you've never abandoned us. You are still on the boat then, and you're on the boat right now. And so for those in this room that are troubled, the storms are raging, we invite the God of peace into our lives right now. In fact, if that's you right now, just an uplifted hand, say, listen, my heart's troubled right now. I'm full of anxiety. I'm full of worry. Maybe it's fear today. God is asking right now, why are you so afraid? It's a question of concern. God is not a God who just asks and moves on. God's asking us, why are we so afraid today? And he wants to answer. He wants to be the answer. Come on, you just lift a hand right now, just acknowledging, listen, my heart's troubled today. Man, I love verse 27. I'm leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and of heart. And this peace is not the peace the world gives. And so God, right now, every hand that's lifted, whatever's going on, I declare this word over Life Community Church. You were faithful then. You're going to be faithful right now. Come on, some of you by faith got to say that. You were faithful then. You're going to be faithful right now. And God, we're going to declare this song over our lives, over our kids' lives. God, we're going to sing this to the top of our lungs. Not to be bad neighbors, but to show that we love you and that we trust you today. In the name of Jesus.